A very warm welcome to the Early Retirement Show, the show dedicated to helping you navigate the nuances of an early retirement, a non-traditional retirement. Now let's get right into the episode so we can learn how to retire early. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Early Retirement Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Ari Taubleib, and I help people retire early. And that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. How do you retire early? And by retire early, when I say that, for most people, they're going, Ari, what are you talking about when in terms of early retirement? Is there a specific age? And there is. When people think of an early retirement, they tend to think of between 50 and 65. So not an exact number, but if traditional retirement is age 65, well, between age 50 and 65 will often be known as that early retirement age, but it can really still be in your early 40s. It can be your later 40s. There's really not an exact science to it. I created this podcast because I want people to know when they are in a position where work is now optional, where if you love doing what you do, great, keep doing it. I'm not saying stop, but if you don't love doing what you do, well, then maybe we should consider switching careers, or should we consider retiring, which sometimes can have a negative connotation to it, but it doesn't have to be. Retiring doesn't have to be this really scary new phase of life. It can be a, wow, I can really do whatever it is I want with my time, and it's going to feel weird, especially if you've worked for 20, 30, 40 plus years, and it's supposed to feel weird. If it didn't, I would be more concerned. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. Specifically, when you do retire, where do you pull income from? Especially with an early retirement, there are additional considerations because if you want to retire, call it at age 60, well, that would be after you can pull from your IRAs and Roth IRAs and not pay any excess penalties or taxes. And so that can be a wonderful consideration if you're age 60. But if you're saying, you know what, Ari, I'd really love to retire at age 50 or 55, well, there's some other things we need to think about. In fact, there's even some other things that I'm going to be bringing up today if you want to retire at age 60. So this is what we're going to be talking about. Once again, you can always submit a question on my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. I love seeing those questions, and then I look to answer them in a future episode. I do respond to all of them. So please keep submitting those questions. It is so fun to see those. And then, of course, if you're wondering how this might impact your specific retirement plan, this is what I do. I help people build customized retirement plans, and we focus on holistic financial planning here at Root Financial. So it's investment management, tax planning, estate planning, all of that fun stuff. So enough of that. Let's hop right into today's episode topic, which is about retirement income. Where do you pull from if you want to retire early and you don't have access to your retirement accounts? You don't have Social Security coming in yet. You don't have a pension. Where do you pull income from? That is what we're going to be talking about today. And it really has stemmed from a question I received from my clients, which is, Ari, when does it make most sense to pull and where should I pull from? And to take a big step back, how do I even start thinking about pulling from these accounts? I have been saving and I've been investing for so many years. I now want to be as efficient as possible when it comes to pulling these assets to minimize my taxes and maximize my retirement income. So let's start by defining these gap years. What are these gap years? Sometimes you'll hear people talk about a gap fund or a bridge fund, which is essentially what are we going to live off of before we can start pulling from our retirement accounts, before we can start pulling from the 401ks, from the Roth 401ks, from the Roth IRAs, the IRAs. Where do we pull from before all of that stuff is accessible? Now, some people will view these retirement income gap years as the years where you may be able to access your IRA, for example, which you can get at age 59 and a half without any extra penalties or taxes, but you're unable to access a pension or Social Security. So some people will view these as the years between, call it 62 and 65, where you have access to that IRA, even call it age 60, but Social Security hasn't begun yet. You haven't decided to start collecting, or there's not a pension that begins until a certain age. So everyone defines it a little differently, but quite simply, the question is, where do we live off of when we want to retire early? Where do those assets come from? How do we be as intentional as possible? Now, I always like to bring up the example of the retirement smile because most people spend much more in the early years of retirement, a little less in the middle, and then more at the end as medical expenses rise, as opposed to having a constant withdrawal rate throughout retirement. So don't feel that, for example, if you want to spend $5,000 a month or $6,000 a month or $10,000 a month, that you have to say, you know what, that is the number I'm committing to for the rest of my life. it's not a static approach, it is a dynamic one. So especially when we do retirement planning, we look at how do we create a dynamic approach so you can spend as much as you'd like, understanding, okay, what are the trade-offs if we do spend more? Okay, so specifically, if you want to retire early, as an example, call it at age 60. If you want to retire at age 60, well, you can pull from your IRAs and you can pull from your Roth IRAs, whether we want to or whether it makes most sense is another conversation. But just for a basic example, if you want to pull and have $6,000 per month after taxes, adjusted for inflation, wonderful. So now we need to create $72,000 per year. Well, let's fast forward to the future a little bit, and let's assume there's Social Security, and that does $2,000 a month. Well, if that's covering $2,000, that's $24,000. So now it's $72,000 minus the $24,000. That's what we need to come from our portfolio. But remember, that Social Security isn't happening today. So here you are at age 60, and you need to cover the full $72,000 or $6,000 a month that would be coming from your portfolio. This is why I like bringing up the retirement smile analogy, because that $6,000 per month, well, it's unrealistic that you're going to be spending that every single month in retirement. You might be hearing this going, no, I do want to spend that amount. I'd say if you do, wonderful. But please know that history has shown people tend to spend more than $6,000, call it $8,000, $10,000, or even $12,000 in the early years of retirement as they are traveling, as they have their energy, they have their health, and they're doing some of these amazing things that they've been putting off for most of their life. Or not even putting off, but waiting to do is what I should say. And so that's one consideration. Another consideration is in the, call it the middle of your retirement years. If you think of a smile, it starts at that upper left and it comes down, and now we're at that kind of middle center of that retirement smile. Well, that's when you tend to travel less. Not traveling, but that's when people tend to say, hey, my expenses haven't increased from, call it unexpected events, which, by the way, can always occur. That's why I like to say we don't do financial plan, we do financial planning, because life changes and tax law changes and legislation changes, and that all impacts your overall strategy. So then at the latter years of retirement, there's health expenses, things come up. Maybe you want to give more, maybe you say, hey, there's always been this car I wanted to get, or that boat, or whatever it is. So ultimately, when we look at retirement planning, that's what we are thinking about. Okay, how much do we want to spend in retirement? And are we going to want to spend that every single year? Because that impacts how we're going to withdraw income. You know I love examples, and it is time for that. So let's hop right in. Let's assume you have $100,000 you would like to withdraw from your portfolio to meet your living expenses. And there's 3 years of what we're going to call gap years, meaning you have $300,000, $100,000 times three of funds that you need to live off of before you can start really touching these other accounts, tax-free and penalty-free. Now, with IRAs, of course, you still have to pay taxes on them because you've had a deduction for all of these years. When you pull it out, you are officially taxed on it. But I'm talking about no additional taxes, no additional penalties. And that begins after age 59 and a half when you can do so. So back to this example, is once you have bridged your, call it gap years, well, you can spend as much as you'd like during the early years of retirement where expenses may be relatively higher. And the reason for that is because you have planned and invested well. And so if you are age 60 going, hey, I need to make sure I have enough so I can live off of these funds until I can start pulling from my Roth IRA or my IRA or my 401k because of the strategy through my planning process, well, then that's wonderful. You just need to make sure that we have those funds set aside, and you can put those in a few different places. Some people say, Ari, I would just like to have that in cash. I'd like to be able to touch it and live off of those funds. Other people say, Ari, I know that historically the market goes up over time, but it's scary. And if I need these funds, I want to be able to live off of them, but I don't want them gaining no interest, especially with what inflation is doing right now. And they'll say, can we invest it, but a little bit more conservatively? So I tend to recommend saying, if we need any funds to live off of, especially in the next few years, let's have it in cash because we want to make sure that we have those funds we can live off of and the market is not dictating your ability to meet your needs. However, it's all going to come down to your overall portfolio mix. If you have enough investments that are conservative already in your portfolio, well, can we draw from those assets? Can we live off of those? Well, it may very well make sense, but the question is, how much do you have in cash that you are going to need to at least meet your minimum expenses, call it over the next year? And then above and beyond that, do we have other investments that we can pull from? So if the market doesn't perform well, Well, we don't have to worry because we have enough that we can take from and not realize a loss on those investments. So there's so many ways to look at this, but I like to go very simple. I always like to keep things as simple as possible and go, let's pretend that you are 55 and you want to retire. You said, you know what? I've had enough. I've heard Ari talk enough about financial planning and I've dreamed what my retirement's going to look like. I have a sense of what it is I'm going to be doing and I'm going to go hiking and spending time with my grandchildren. And I just want to call it quits, not because I have to, but I want the financial peace where if I want to do some part-time income, great, I can do so, but I don't need it. So let's assume that's you and you're 55 and you say, you know what, Ari, I've had enough. Wonderful. Well, now what we can start to do is go, how many years of expenses do we want to make sure that we have so we can live off of these funds with what we call that gap fund, that retirement income gap? How do we bridge that gap? Well, number one is we can't start pulling from our IRAs or 401ks or Roth IRAs until 59 and a half without those taxes and penalties I discussed. So what I would advise doing is before age 55, start planning. Start putting some funds into a brokerage account, investing it in a conservative mix so that it's still getting a little bit of growth for you, but it's going to be there when you need it to live off of during the first few years of retirement. That can be a wonderful time when your income is very low to also do tax planning. So the best people that I've seen, the best people that are some of my clients, what's made them really successful in retirement is they didn't wait until retirement to start planning. They said, hey, I'm going to be retiring. I want to set myself up as best as possible. What can I do today to do that? And so that's really where the planning comes in, because it's about saying, great, during these little windows of opportunities, how can we take advantage of it? For example, let's assume that you retire at age 55. Well, your income may be very, very low at that point. In fact, there might be no income. Maybe a spouse is working, or maybe not. Maybe you guys are retiring together. Well, one thing to think about is your income is going to be very low, which you might go, that is amazing. Ari, I've paid taxes my whole life. I cannot wait to pay such little taxes. In fact, maybe no taxes. I'd say wonderful, but is this a time where it may make sense to convert assets from an IRA to a Roth IRA through a Roth conversion so you never have to pay taxes ever again? So the growth is tax-free forever and it compounds on itself tax-free? So these are the things to think about if you are in your 50s, if you're in your early 60s, going, what can I do to get ahead to retire early? What are some of the strategies that the ultra wealthy take so they don't pay really any in taxes often? Well, that's doable. You can pay 0% in taxes if you are going through a strategy and understand exactly how to do that. If you are single, well, there's about 40,000, a little over 40,000 that you can realize in capital gains and pay 0% every single year. And so one of the things that we're looking at is how do we make sure that we capitalize on that? How do we not pay a dime more in taxes, not just this year? So often people look at it from just a one-year perspective, and I'll call that vacuum tax planning. They're just looking in a vacuum of this year. Well, I want to look at how do we save your taxes over your lifetime? So tax liability is going to be oftentimes one of, if not your biggest expenses in retirement. So make sure that you have proper measures in place to protect against that. I always like to leave you all with a few things that you can take away to go, okay, I'm going to start thinking about this differently, or here's one step. I always like to say it's more important to focus on momentum than speed. You don't have to have everything dialed in. No one ever does, not right off the bat. But you start listening to these podcasts, of which there's wonderful podcasts, so many out there. One of my favorites, as well as my partner's, Ready for Retirement, and he's focuses specifically on that transition into retirement, and I'm focusing on that early retirement. What can you do to start thinking to get yourself ahead? And that podcast is hosted by James Knoll. But going back to the topic of what can I leave you with so that you can say, hey, I'm going to start implementing some of these things. Well, number one I have here, margin for error. Some people have a good sense of exactly what they want to spend in retirement. Other people go, hey, Ari, I haven't done it yet, so I really don't know what it is I'm going to be spending. And I'd say that is okay. Do not feel that you have to have everything dialed in, but leave some margin for error. Number two is legacy goals. If your goal is to leave a certain amount of funds for children or grandchildren or charity, you'll want to ensure that your retirement plan reflects that. Number three is equity. Is there a home equity that is available that you can tap into to enhance your retirement? You might say, yes, that's something I certainly want to utilize. You might go, you know what, Ari, not something I'm interested in. I have no plan to move. I love where I am. And there's memories I've created here that I do not want to lose. I'd say, wonderful. Let's have a conversation around really what's most important to you. Oftentimes people go, Ari, I never want to use my home equity. I just want to live here forever. And they tell me their goals, which is traveling, spending time with children, being able to be financially flexible. And they realize, well, their goals differ from what they told me in the sense that they don't want to lose their home. And so once they understand what is really most important to them, they go, wow, I do love my home, but I now realize I can use that to fund what I care about most. Great, that's what money's for. So that is another consideration, home equity. And then the big one, which you hear about often, inflation concerns. Is your portfolio positioned to outpace inflation? Because if you're going to retire early, we need funds to live off of for the next, call it 30 to 40 plus years. That's a lot of time, and we certainly never want to run out of money, and not just not run out, but we want to make sure we can optimize in the sense that we are maximizing how much we can pull from. Well, if we are not outpacing inflation, then we are going to lose. In fact, I can guarantee we will lose, because as the cost of goods and services rise, if our portfolio is not staying up to date with that, well, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble. So how do we make sure we avoid that? We outpace inflation. And then just a few other considerations to think about, long-term care. Some people go, you know what, Ari, there are some real health considerations and I can get a premium that actually is somewhat cost efficient. Does that make sense? It can be. It can also make sense to self-insure. As opposed to paying these premiums to a company that you may never use, you could also pay them to yourself in the sense that it's funding your brokerage account. And then if you don't need them, you can use them for another goal. If you do need them, great. You are essentially self-insuring yourself, a topic that is rarely brought up. And then at the very end, I always like to say, when it comes to retirement planning, it starts with your goals, which I know is very broad. It sounds very basic, but sometimes your goals are going to conflict with what you want, which I know that sounds really weird. How can my goals conflict with what I want? Well, that example I shared previously is if you say, you know what, I never want to leave this home. I just have amazing memories, but my number one goal is travel and retirement. Well, those goals conflict one another. So really think through what is most important to you, because those are what you're going to use to create your dream retirement. Once again, you can always submit a question. That is it for today's episode on my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. I love answering those questions. Please continue to submit those and let me know if you want a specific retirement plan for you. I love going through this process with people, really gives them clarity on where they are today, where they want to be, and what we need to do today to make it happen. So that is it, and I'll see you all next episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information, if there's anyone out there that you know. I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.